FM，
听鸟儿的欢鸣，溪水的婉转。
There's in every living creature an
obstacle。 爱与恨，悲与喜，苦与乐，得与失。听跳跃的文字，灵动的声音。
You're listening to More to Read。
欢迎来到轻松调频美文阅读 More to Read， 我是沈听，让我们在这里一起听美文学英语。今天让我们一起来听英国诗人 T.S. 艾略特的一句话，美国诗人卡尔桑德堡的一首诗歌 Grass。 最后为大家选读的是中国著名作家史铁生所写的长篇散文《我与地坛》当中的节选片段。
More to read，
用文字抒发感情，用文字诉说故事，用文字穿越古今。
Daily quote。
What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. T.S. Eliot。 我们叫做开始的往往就是结束，而宣告结束也就是着手开始，终点是我们出发的地方。 T.S. 艾略特。我们刚才听到的这句话出自英国诗人 T.S. 艾略特的代表作品《四个四重奏》，这是一首探讨永恒与时间的哲理诗。但是诗人并不使用纯粹抽象的概念，他带领读者在具体的历史中探索永恒与时间的辩证关系。托马斯·斯特尔纳斯·艾略特，通称 T.S. 艾略特，1888年出生于美国密苏里州的圣路易斯，英国著名诗人、剧作家和文学批评家，诗歌现代派运动的领袖，其代表作品有《荒原》《四个四重奏》等。What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. T.S. Eliot。 我们叫做开始的往往就是结束，而宣告结束也就是着手开始，终点是我们出发的地方。 T.S. 艾略特。
Grass by Carl Sandburg. Pile the bodies high at Austerlitz and Waterloo. Shovel them under and let me work. I am the grass, I cover all. And pile them high at Gettysburg and pile them high at Ypres and Verdun. Shovel them under and let me work.2 years, 10 years, and passengers ask the conductor, what place is this? Where are we now? I am the grass. Let me work.
草，卡尔·桑德堡。在奥斯特里茨和滑铁卢把尸体堆高，将它们铲埋地下，并让我工作。我是草，我掩盖所有。在盖蒂斯堡把它们堆高，在伊波和凡尔登把它们堆高，将它们铲埋地下，并让我工作。2年，10年，然后乘客问列车员，这是什么地方？我们现在何处？ 我是草，让我工作。
我们刚才听到的这首短小的诗歌 Grass 草，出自美国著名诗人卡尔桑德堡，英文版本由 Mark Griffiths 为您朗读，中文版本由南海之声的主持人周薇为您朗诵。卡尔桑德堡出生于1878年 ,1967 年去世，是一位美国诗人、传记作者和新闻记者，被誉为人民的诗人，曾一度被誉为非官方的美国桂冠诗人。他运用通俗语言和平常讲话时的节奏，描绘美国建国初期赤裸而又强有力的现实主义，以及美国的工业化扩张。此外，他还创作了一些雅致的抒情诗，如《雾》，其抒情诗运用精粹而细致的意象派风格。1940年，卡尔桑德堡因作品《亚伯拉罕：战争的年代》获得普利策历史著作奖。1951年，他再次因《诗歌全集》而获得普利策诗歌创作奖。
Grass by Carl Sandburg. Pile the bodies high at Austerlitz and Waterloo. Shovel them under and let me work. I am the grass, I cover all. And pile them high at Gettysburg and pile them high at Ypres and Verdun. Shovel them under and let me work.2 years, 10 years, and passengers. Ask the conductor, what place is this? Where are we now? I am the grass. Let me work. More to read.
文字的世界。用心，
用心
聆听。
Beauty of words。
史铁生是中国当代著名作家，1951年出生于北京，1967年毕业于清华附中，1969年去延安一带插队，因双腿瘫痪于1972年回到北京，后来又因患肾病并发展到尿毒症，需要靠透析维持生命，自称是职业是生病。业余在写作。2002年，史铁生获得华语文学传媒大奖年度杰出成就奖。我与地坛是一篇长篇哲思抒情散文。这部作品是史铁生文学作品中充满了哲思又极为人性化的代表作之一，是作者15年来摇着轮椅在地坛思索的结晶。散文中饱含作者对人生的种种感悟，对亲情的深情讴歌。地坛只是一个载体，而文章的本质却是一个绝望的人寻求希望的过程，以及对母亲的思念。好，那么接下来我就为大家选读史铁生的散文代表作品《我与地坛》的第二节，中文版本由我的同事星玉为您朗读。
我与地坛，史铁生。
In the Temple of Earth by 史铁生。
现在我才想到，当年我总是独自跑到地坛去，曾经给母亲出了一个怎样的难题。她不是那种光会疼爱儿子而不懂得理解儿子的母亲。她知道我心里的苦闷，知道不该阻止我出去走走，知道我要是老待在家里，结果会更糟。但她又担心我一个人在那荒僻的园子里整天都想些什么。
Only recently did I realize that my frequenting the old temple must have been a big worry for my mother. She was not one of those Chinese mothers who spoil their children without understanding them. She knew what I was going through, so she never stopped me from going. She knew it wasn't good for me to stay at home all day. Yet she was anxious to know what was on my mind.
我那时脾气坏到极点， 经常是发了疯一样的离开家，从那园子里回来又中了魔似的，什么话都不说。母亲知道有些事不宜问，便犹犹豫豫的想问而终于不敢问，因为她自己心里也没有答案。她料想我不会愿意她跟我一同去，所以她从未这样要求过。她知道得给我一点独处的时间，得有这样一段过程。她只是不知道这过程得要多久，和这过程的尽头究竟是什么。每次我要动身时，他便无言地帮我准备，帮助我上了轮椅车，看着我摇车拐出小院。这以后他会怎样，当年我不曾想过。
Whenever I felt depressed, I would rush out to the temple, and when I returned, I would be as silent as the grave. My mother knew she mustn't ask questions.So she always fought them back, and she never knew the answers to them. She also knew I wouldn't want her to go with me, so she never asked. Each time before I left home, she would help me into the wheelchair, then, without a word, watch me roll out of the courtyard. I never bothered to think what she was going through.
有一回，我摇车出了小院，想起一件什么事儿，又返身回来，看见母亲仍站在原地，还是送我走时的姿势，望着我拐出小院去的那处墙角，对我的回来竟一时没有反应。待她再次送我出门的时候，她说：“出去活动活动，去地坛看看书。”我说：“这挺好。”许多年以后，我才渐渐听出母亲这话实际上是自我安慰，是暗自的祷告，是给我的提示，是恳求与嘱咐。只是在她猝然去世之后，我才有余暇设想，当我不在家里的那些漫长的时间，她是怎样心神不定，坐卧难宁，兼着痛苦与惊恐，与一个母亲最低限度的祈求。现在我可以断定，以他的聪慧和坚忍，在那些空落的白天后的黑夜，在那不眠的黑夜后的白天，他思来想去，最后准是对自己说：反正我不能不让他出去，未来的日子是他自己的。如果他真的要在那园子里出了什么事儿，这苦难也只好我来承担。
On one occasion,I suddenly remembered something and came home again. I found my mother still standing there blankly, as if she hadn't moved after I left. When she realized that I was back, she murmured, "It'll do you good to have some exercise or read a book in the temple." Only many years later, after she had left me, did I come to realize that she had actually been praying for me, and at the same time consoling herself.She must have kept telling herself, I cannot stop him. He has his own future. If something happens to him there in the temple, I'll bear it.
在那段日子里，那是好几年长的一段日子，我想我一定使母亲做过了最坏的准备了。但她从来没有对我说过，你为我想想。事实上，我也真的没为他想过，那时他的儿子还太年轻，还来不及为母亲想。他被命运击昏了头，一心以为自己是世上最不幸的一个，不知道儿子的不幸在母亲那儿总是要加倍的。他有一个长到20岁上忽然截瘫了的儿子，这是他唯一的儿子。他情愿截瘫的是自己而不是儿子，可这事无法代替。他想，只要儿子能活下去，哪怕自己去死呢也行。可他又确信，一个人不能仅仅是活着，儿子得有一条路走向自己的幸福。而这条路呢， 没有谁能保证他的儿子终于能找到。这样一个母亲，注定是活得最苦的母亲。
All those years, my mother must have been prepared for the worst. But she never said, think of me. And in fact, I hardly ever did think about her. I was too young then. Fate had made an emotional wreck of me, and I considered myself the most unfortunate person in the world. I never considered that she might feel even more bitter than I, as all mothers suffer more when the son suffers. Illness had deprived her only son of the use of his legs when he was only 20. She knew that he had to seek happiness, not just simply survive. But who could guarantee her son's future?
有一次与一个作家朋友聊天，我问他学写作的最初动机是什么。他想了一会儿说，为我母亲，为了让她骄傲。我心里一惊，良久无言。回想自己最初写小说的动机，虽不似这位朋友的那般单纯，但如他一样的愿望我也有。且一经细想，发现这愿望也在全部动机中占了很大比重。
Once, when chatting with a friend, also a writer, I asked him what had made him taking up writing. He pondered the question for a moment and said, For my mother, I want her to feel proud of me. I was speechless with surprise. Though many things have spurred me on to become a writer,One of my most important motives was just that.
在我的头一篇小说发表的时候，在我的小说第一次获奖的那些日子里，我真是多么希望我的母亲还活着。我便又不能在家里待了，又整天整天独自跑到地坛去，心里是没头没尾的沉郁和哀怨，走遍整个园子，却怎么也想不通母亲为什么就不能再多活两年？为什么在他儿子就快要碰撞开一条路的时候，他却忽然熬不住了？莫非他来此世上只是为了替儿子担忧，却不该分享我的一点点快乐？后来，我在一篇题为《合欢树》的文章中写道：我坐在小公园安静的树林里，闭上眼睛想，上帝为什么早早地召母亲回去呢？很久很久，迷迷糊糊的我听见了回答，他心里太苦了，上帝看他受不住了，就召他回去。
When my first story was published and the first time I received an award,The only thing I wished for was that my mother was still alive. All day long, I wandered around the temple of earth. I couldn't understand why my mother hadn't lived 2 years longer. Why did she have to leave so suddenly before I had achieved some success? Had she come to the world only to worry for her son and not share his happiness? Later, I was to write this in an article entitled,The Silk Tree. I sat in the quiet woods of the little park and closed my eyes. Why has God taken my mother so early? I thought. After a long time, I seemed to hear a reply. Her heart was too full of sorrow. God knew she could bear it no longer, so he called her back.
我似乎得了一点安慰，睁开眼睛看见风正从树林里穿过，小公园指的也是地坛。只是到了这时候，纷纭的往事才在我眼前幻现的清晰，母亲的苦难与伟大才在我心中渗透的深彻。上帝的考虑也许是对的。
The thought consoled me a little. When I opened my eyes,I saw the wind blowing through the trees. The little park was the temple of earth. Only at such moments do past events appear before my eyes, clear and intact. and I understand more completely what a wonderful mother I once had. Maybe God was right.
摇着轮椅在园中慢慢走，又是雾罩的清晨，又是骄阳高悬的白昼，我只想着一件事儿，母亲已经不在了。在老柏树旁停下，在草地上，在颓墙边停下，又是处处虫鸣的午后，又是鸟儿归巢的傍晚，我心里只默念着一句话，可是母亲已经不在了。把椅背放倒，躺下，似睡非睡，挨到日末，坐起来，心神恍惚，呆呆地直坐到古祭坛上落满黑暗，然后再渐渐浮起月光，心里才有点明白，母亲不能再来这园中找我了。
As I roll my wheelchair slowly through the Temple of Earth on a misty morning, or at noontime under a scorching sun, I have only one thought in my mind. Mother is gone. I stop beside the old cypress tree, on the grass, beneath the crumbling walls in the afternoon when small insects hum all around, or in the evening as birds return to their nests. In my heart, I still murmur,But mother is gone. I put the back of my chair down and lie there in a trance until sunset. Then I sit up and remain sitting in a daze until darkness shrouds the ancient altar, and it begins to dawn on me that mother can come to the temple to look for me no more.In the Temple of Earth by Shi Tie Sheng. Only recently did I realize that my frequenting the old temple must have been a big worry for my mother. She was not one of those Chinese mothers who spoil their children without understanding them. She knew what I was going through, so she never stopped me from going. She knew it wasn't good for me to stay at home all day.Yet she was anxious to know what was on my mind. Whenever I felt depressed, I would rush out to the temple, and when I returned, I would be as silent as the grave. My mother knew she mustn't ask questions, so she always fought them back, and she never knew the answers to them. She also knew I wouldn't want her to go with me, so she never asked.Each time before I left home, she would help me into the wheelchair. Then, without a word, watch me roll out of the courtyard. I never bothered to think what she was going through. On one occasion, I suddenly remembered something and came home again. I found my mother still standing there blankly, as if she hadn't moved after I left. When she realized that I was back, she murmured,It'll do you good to have some exercise or read a book in the temple. Only many years later, after she had left me, did I come to realize that she had actually been praying for me, and at the same time consoling herself. She must have kept telling herself, I cannot stop him. He has his own future. If something happens to him there in the temple, I'll bear it.All those years, my mother must have been prepared for the worst. But she never said, think of me. And in fact, I hardly ever did think about her. I was too young then. Fate had made an emotional wreck of me, and I considered myself the most unfortunate person in the world. I never considered that she might feel even more bitter than I, as all mothers suffer more when the son suffers.Illness had deprived her only son of the use of his legs when he was only 20. She knew that he had to seek happiness, not just simply survive. But who could guarantee her son's future? Once, when chatting with a friend, also a writer, I asked him what had made him taking up writing. He pondered the question for a moment and said, For my mother. I want her to feel proud of me. I was speechless with surprise. Though many things have spurred me on to become a writer, one of my most important motives was just that. It's not a very lofty reason, is it? My friend said. I shook my head and thinking that although it was certainly not to be held in contempt, it was surely a little naive. I really did used to dream of becoming famous quickly so that other people would be envious of my mother. My friend continued. He was more honest than I thought, and luckier too, for his mother was still alive. His mother was luckier than my mother too, for my friend was healthy. When my first story was published and the first time I received an award, the only thing I wished for was that my mother was still alive. All day long, I wandered around the Temple of Earth. I couldn't understand why my mother hadn't lived 2 years longer. Why did she have to leave so suddenly before I had achieved some success? Had she come to the world only to worry for her son and not share his happiness? Later, I was to write this in an article entitled The Silk Tree. I sat in the quiet woods of the little park and closed my eyes. Why has God taken my mother so early? I thought. After a long time, I seemed to hear a reply. Her heart was too full of sorrow. God knew she could bear it no longer, so he called her back. The thought consoled me a little. When I opened my eyes, I saw the wind blowing through the trees. The little park was the temple of earth. Only at such moments do past events appear before my eyes, clear and intact, and I understand more completely what a wonderful mother I once had. Maybe God was right. As I roll my wheelchair slowly through the temple of earth on a misty morning or at noontime under a scorching sun, I have only one thought in my mind. Mother is gone. I stop beside the old cypress tree, on the grass, beneath the crumbling walls in the afternoon when small insects hum all around, or in the evening as birds return to their nests. In my heart, I still murmur, but mother is gone. I put the back of my chair down and lie there in a trance until sunset. Then I sit up and remain sitting in a daze until darkness shrouds the ancient altar, and it begins to dawn on me that mother can come to the temple to look for me no more.
感谢您的收听，我是沈听，我们明天见。